Now today is Mother's Day, a day we set aside to honor those that we call mom. For some, all we have left are memories of that wonderful woman that raised us, loved us, cared for us, and so often did without so that we wouldn't have to. For others, your mom is still alive, and you ought to cherish her, be grateful for her, and you ought to honor her all of her days. Let her know how much you love her and live in such a manner that she is beyond pleased to call you, to have you call her mom. I, for one, am glad that this day is set aside where we can pay tribute to those who brought us into the world, helped us through childhood, taught us so much by word and deed, one who loved us and comforted us when we were hurting. I believe it does us all good to think about what our mothers have meant or mean to us. And if we would do so more often, this one day wouldn't do them justice. We would treat her special every day of the year. This would be the first year for me when I don't have to pick out a Mother's Day card, when I don't have to stuff it with a monetary amount, nor do I have to make a call to one of the best moms a fellow could have. I miss her dearly, and I can't wait to see her again, either in the air or up there in the Father's house. You see, she was a woman who looked well to the ways of her household, and being one of her own, I was blessed beyond measure that God had allowed me to have a mother such as mine. There are many great mothers mentioned in the Bible, many who raised their children up to the glory of God, such as Jochebed, who against the laws of Pharaoh spared Moses, who became the one who would deliver Israel from Egypt. There's Eunice, the mother of Timothy, who passed on the faith to her boy. Or how about King Lemuel's mother, whose counsel was true and worthwhile taking in? There were mothers who received mighty miracles at the hand of God, like the widow of Zarephath, whose boy was raised from the dead, or had prayers answered for children, such as Hannah. While there are plenty of godly examples of motherhood in Scripture, and those examples ought to challenge mothers today, as moms should identify with these mothers' hearts and the pain and the concern they had for their children. Now, if I were to ask you to name some godly mothers mentioned in Scriptures, some may say, well, Sarah, and you'd be right. Some would say Mary, and yes, you'd be right. Others may say Elizabeth or someone else. However, I would doubt if any one of us would mention an Old Testament mother where nothing is said about her husband or children except to point out that she was a wife and a mother in Israel. And her name happens to be Deborah. She is mentioned in the book of Judges. And in Judges chapter 4, verse 4, it says this about her. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Then we read this in Judges chapter 5, verse 7. The inhabitants of the villages cease. They ceased in Israel. Until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. Now Deborah is a timely example for mothers today. For she lived in uncertain and perilous times. The country was in sin. The people were living in open rebellion to God's commands. And they were lacking the right kind of godly leadership. She was just one woman. She was just one wife. She was just a mother. But God used her in a mighty way. Now she was most likely named after Rebecca's nurse, who died and was buried beneath an oak in Bethel. Her name means bee. And like a honeybee, she was sweet to her family and her friends. And like a stinging bee, she was that to her enemies, the enemies of God's people. She certainly was a busy bee as she busied herself while ministering to others and keeping a close relationship with God as well. The time in which she lived could be summed up by what is written in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. That verse tells us, in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I would say that we live in such a day now, as truth has been replaced by the practice of situation ethics. Absolutes have been abandoned for the absurd. I am free to do as I please philosophy has replaced the clear-cut commands of Scripture, and the laws of man now have replaced the laws of God. Deborah herself lived in a nation that had turned away from God and was embraced in false idols. Everyone did evil in the sight of the Lord, and there were enemies and oppressors that ruled over them. In Judges chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, we read this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Without God's protection, and without God's blessings, and without the people living by faith in what thus saith the Lord, the promised land became a pretty dangerous place to live. And we read this. It says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in Judges chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. You say, why would the highways be unoccupied? Why would the byways be unoccupied? Because it was dangerous to travel on those roads. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. Her country had become an unsafe place to live. There was lawlessness and oppression on every hand. They were in dire situation, and this mother in Israel was determined to do something about it. She happened to be the fourth judge in Israel, raised up by God to deliver His people from the bondage of their idolatry and the oppressors that ruled over them. Deborah becoming a judge was an act of grace on God's part. But it was also a humiliating experience for the Jewish men, for there was a dearth of male leadership in the land. 'Tis a sorry sight indeed to see women lead a country, lead churches, or lead a home. Isaiah tells us this in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 2. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. God is letting us know this isn't the way things are meant to be. And if men were not doing what was right in their own eyes, this mother in Israel would not have been appointed a judge in Israel. Her prominence as a ruler has always intrigued me. And I have to be honest, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. And I'm somewhat baffled by it. The only thing I can come up with is the men at that time were not what they should have been. You as a man may be thinking, well, my wife is in charge of my home. I say, do you really want me to repeat the previous statement? Or do you believe it's time you stepped up to the plate and heeded the admonition found in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, which tells you, quit you like men. Now that doesn't mean you quit being a man. It means act manly. And as a man, be the head of your home. You are to be its leader, spiritually and in every aspect you are to lead your home. Yes, in Deborah's day, much like our own, men have forsaken their God-given role in society. But why did God choose to use Deborah? instead of some other woman in the land? Could it be that her identity was inseparable from her family? Her identity was inseparable from her family. This is not how others saw her. This is how she saw herself. She said, I arose what? A mother in Israel. She didn't say, I arose because God chose me. I'm somebody. She said, I arose what? A mother in Israel. Who she was all wrapped up in the fact that she was a wife and a mother. She didn't have some sort of identity crisis and looking for a sense of worth with some college degree, breaking some glass ceiling, or being highly paid. She wasn't out to prove that she was good as any man or more important than they were. Her importance was what she was to her family as a wife and as a mother, and everything in the home meant much to her. When God points her out, He calls her the wife of Lapidus. He didn't call her a ruler. He didn't say, my leader, Deborah. She wasn't the general of an army. He says she was a prophetess who was in tune with God's truth, but she wasn't overlooked as being the wife of Lapidus. As a wife, she was in subjection to her own husband. She obeyed him, as she should have. For why would God choose Deborah to be judge over Israel if she was a rebel at home and was guilty of blaspheming the word of God for being so? The highest calling for any woman is to be used by God as a wife and as a mother. Anything else, and everything else a woman does for the Lord is to be secondary to their home and to their family. With Deborah's own emphasis on her identity as a mother, I would conclude that her service as a prophetess and judge did not replace her responsibility to her home. I would even go so far as to say her being a prophetess and her being a judge were fueled by her desire as a mom for her family and nation to once again enjoy God's blessings and the nation once again to exude righteousness. She, like all good mothers, want what is best for their children. And when things went from bad to worse, she decided she could no longer sit idly by. It was a natural outgrowth of her love for her family that caused her to do what she could do for the nation. My point is, mothers, no matter what else you may do for your Lord, your responsibility to be a wife and a mother must come first. No other ministry is more important to you than your home. Number two, God chose Deborah because she didn't hide behind the excuses of inability or of unimportance. Who's Lapidus? He wasn't royalty. He didn't come from a well-known family. Who's Lapidus? Her children aren't even mentioned. But you know what? She was a mother. You know what? She was a wife. Now you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm just one woman. What could I possibly do? Well, Deborah didn't use her age or her gender as any other, as an excuse to sit back and do nothing. Since she was just one person, but who isn't? Everyone who has ever been used by God is just one person. Was not Sarah one person? Yet God uses her as an example of what a holy woman ought to be. Was not Jochebed just one woman? But did she not raise up Moses, the deliverer of Israel? Did she not raise up Aaron, who became the first high priest of the nation? Did she not rear up Miriam, a prophetess, who was a leader amongst the Jewish women when they made their exodus out of Egypt? Was not Hannah just one woman, a lay person? Yet she was the mother of Samuel, the mighty prophet of God? Was not the Shunammite just one person? But did she not do a mighty work encouraging the man of God named Elijah? Was not Dorcas, there's a name. You people need to name your kid, daughter, Dorcas. I never met a Dorcas yet. Connie and I are going to name our next daughter Dorcas. But you know what? She did minister to the widows, did she not? Was not Ruth just one person and changed the whole attitude of her mother-in-law named Naomi? Yes, you should never lead your home. A woman should never pastor a church. But that doesn't mean God can't use you. So do what you can with what God gifted you to do. And know that your labor is not in vain. You can't do everything. No one can. But how about being the best wife? How about being the best mother? How about being the best church member, soul winner, the best possible example of Christian womanhood there is? God chose Deborah because her identity was inseparable from her family. She didn't hide behind the excuses of inability or unimportance. Number three, God chose her because she was in tune with God. She was in tune with God. I can't tell you all that was involved in being a prophetess. But when I looked up that word, it means an inspired woman. I believe the people trusted her. I believe she was a prayer warrior, could be offer up her prayers and her prayers could be answered. I believe the counsel she gave was in line with the Word of God. For that to have happened, she would have had to have a close walk with the Lord. A knowledge of life that was meaningful. Her life exhibited wisdom. She had discernment and insight, for she knew who to take her problems to and where she could find the solutions. She was a wife and a mother who was at home with God's Word, and it was familiar to her. The Scriptures were a source of faith and practice, and she willingly obeyed them. Her thoughts were in subjection to the Bible. God's ways revealed in His Word became her ways. And she found God's will to be good, acceptable, and perfect. As believing wives, mothers, and ladies, it's important that you have a daily time of prayer and Bible reading. For you will never be in tune with God if you don't take the time to be with Him. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 tells us, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Yes, all men ought to be praying. All men ought to search the Scriptures. And they all ought to do it on a daily basis. And they should start their day doing so. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 reads, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I hope when people need some spiritual counsel, you can be counted on to be a faithful channel of God's wisdom and truth, and that you never give them what you think. God chose Deborah because of her identity was inseparable from her family. That she didn't hide behind excuses. Well, I'm just one woman. I don't have much ability. And she didn't hide behind being unimportant. And He used her because she was in tune with God. And number four, God chose Deborah because she was an encourager. She was an encourager. She reminded Barak of what the Lord called him to do, and then encouraged him to do it. We read this in Judges 4, verse 6 through 9. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, now notice this, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun? Now she here is going up to some guy, Barak, and saying, you know what? God's called you to do something. What's your deal? How come you're not doing it? And I'll draw in an encouraging way. And I'll draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Now that's all he needed. He was told, he was commanded, it would have happened because God said it would. But he didn't go. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, should have been named Michelle, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. He needed Deborah. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. Now listen. Everyone needs some encouragement. They need that encouragement from someone who cares about them. Mothers and wives, your children and your husband don't benefit from you belittling them or being the subject of your mockery or scorn. You are to be their biggest cheerleader. They need to know that you believe in them, that you are willing to stand with them, and that they are capable of doing what the Lord would have them do. Just the other day, I said something about something. I said, you know, I'm glad I did that. And you know what my wife said? Well, I don't think you could have done it. No. This is what she said. She said, John, you can do anything you put your mind to. Now, wasn't that nice? I like that. And you know what? There's been times in my life I said, oh, I don't think I can do that. She said, oh, yeah, you can. And I think she's just trying to save money. But that's okay. She believes in me. Amen. And you know what? When she says, I think you can, I go ahead and do it. Now, it's a wonderful thing. But how are you mothers and wives? How are you to your children? How are you to your husband? Too many men or children are so unsure of themselves and lack confidence because their mothers and wives had told them that they are stupid and can't do anything right. Then if they attempt to do something for the Lord, and it's not to their liking, they'll say something like, I told you it was a waste of time. What makes you think that God could use someone like you? How can one be so ignorant of what is written in Proverbs 27:21, which says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. When you belittle your husband or children, you beat them down. But when you encourage them, you build them up. Deborah encouraged Barak, and God used him to bring about a great victory against the enemies of Israel. If she encouraged Barak, just how much do you think she bolstered up Lapidoth and bolstered up her children? If she encouraged him, I'm sure she encouraged those that she loved and cared for. As God's time for Moses to graduate in glory was drawing nigh, God told him to encourage Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, God tells Moses, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. You know, all leaders need encouragement. Are they perfect? No, but they need encouragement. Ladies, encourage the leader of your home. Encourage those little boys who are going to be future leaders one day of their own home. In Romans 16, Paul mentions some women along with men who were not only co-laborers in the ministry, but they also encouraged him greatly. There we read such things as, I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that she assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. I can honestly say that many women have been an encouragement to me in the ministry here by their kind words, by their diligence in their works, and the examples that they give. But none of them have touched the hem of the garment of my wife and of my mother. So you who are wives and mothers, don't forget to encourage your own family. Don't forget to fulfill God's will. Deborah was a mother, and she's one worth imitating. She was inseparable from her family. She didn't offer up excuses of inability or unimportance. She was in tune with God. She spent much time with the Lord, and she was an encourager. You know, a woman with these qualities is blessed and worthy of all honor. They get to enjoy Mother's Day not only once a year, but all year around. A good mother, a good wife, is certainly worthy of praise. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.